Coming to you from Los Angeles, California, this is Cheat Day Podcast. Hi, welcome to another episode of Cheat Day Podcast. This is Frankie. My gender pronouns are he, him, and his. I am sitting across from the always entertaining
Kristen in the house. Gender pronouns, she, her, and hers. Hey, mamas.
Kristen.
Frankie.
Kristen in the house.
Yes.
I am so high in Red Bull right now.
Are you?
Let me take another sip.
Yeah.
Cheers, mamas.
Cheers.
Mm-hmm. It gives you wings.
Delish.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm super busy. I'm full blown in the middle of a move.
Yes, you are.
We're podcasting in the middle of a move.
Yes, we are.
We've got people coming in,
taking
measuring, taking pictures of the house.
Yeah.
The house is selling, so yeah. Like the realtor is coming and all that jazz.
Yeah.
They're redoing things on the house.
Yeah, no, it's interesting.
It is.
Interesting because there's a, I don't want to share too much information, but there's a woman who's a stager who was here with the realtor and they're taking measurements and things. And she looks like she does yoga.
She does look like she does yoga.
And she came in, we were talking about a princess cake.
We were talking about a princess cake.
I felt a little judged.
Did you? Like, you're judging me, aren't you?
She was totally judging.
Like, princess cake, huh? Right? Okay. All right.
In a house with like 3+ size people.
Yes. She's probably like, of course we're talking about cake.
Of course.
Shocker.
Yes.
No, that's rude. That's rude. That's rude.
She had like a very sensible like blouse on.
She did.
You know, cute jeans and totally like seems like a nice lady.
She does seem like a nice lady.
But yeah, she had her measuring tape out. She was, which reminds me of like any time I go to like a doctor or something. You know what I mean? Like,
take your measurements, see where you're at, what's going on.
Right, what's happening.
Right.
But yeah, you are in the middle of a move.
Yes.
And yet continue to record, which I think is amazing.
Yeah.
So thank you for that because I look forward to this all the time. And another thing that I want to, because as if you don't have enough things going on with like a full-time job and like move and trying to find a place, you're also, and we've talked about, we've shared that you decided to go back to comedy after 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So you are sort of mid-pursue of this, just starting out.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going out to open mics.
Yes.
So you know, I think it's great, but I could never do it because to me, I get too scared of anything. I'm scared right now of just talking to this mic.
Okay.
And there's no one here except for you. But I want to know what it's been like for you to get back out there and start doing that.
It's been interesting.
Yeah.
It, you know, I'm just dipping in my toe.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've done 4 open mics in the span of a week, give or take a week. Maybe like a week and a half. I would like to essentially get up to being out every single night and either doing a book show or doing an open mic. Cause I feel like the only way I get better at stand-up comedy is by doing it regularly, which I think is probably true for most people who do stand up, or just anything. Like the more you do something, the better you are at it. I want to be a beast on stage.
Beast mode.
Beast mode. I wouldn't exactly say that's where I'm at. Mama's still got a long ways to go, mm-hmm. but I do feel like I started the journey of just, you know, getting back on stage and opening my mouth. The last one I did kind of knocked a little bit of the wind out of my sail, out of my manic sail, because I don't feel like I did that well. I was rushing through my jokes. I wasn't giving anybody an opportunity to laugh. And then I was like confused as to why no one was laughing. It's like, like I was just running through my to-do list, just joke, 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 joke. And then I said, female comics rock. And then I got off the stage.
Okay. Thank you, Cleveland.
Thank you, Cleveland. You've been great. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but I didn't, So I, when I get nervous, I tend to say the F word quite a bit.
Okay.
And the first that I did, it was like, fuckity, fuck, 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 fuck her, fuck him, fuck it all, fuck it. Just a lot of fuck bombs. Mm-hmm. And I would like to use that word more as like an emphasis to something that I have to say, as opposed to every other word.
Okay.
So Sunday I managed to get through a set, and you listened to the set.
I did.
I don't feel like there were that many F bombs in
it. No.
I mean, I definitely, you could tell I was rushing through, but not as many F bombs. So I'm just at that place where you're draping the fabric. You're seeing what's going to come about. Mm-hmm. Writing jokes, mm-hmm. Writing jokes with my mom, writing jokes with my husband, writing jokes with you. Mm-hmm. Just trying to start writing down everything I find comical in my life. Mm-hmm. Because I'm human and a lot of that stuff is relatable. And I wouldn't really say I'm a political comic. I would say I'm more of like a human nature, human emotion, just human comic. As far as like the stories that I tell, I talk about mental health. I talk about growing up with a crackhead.
Okay.
I hate to even call him that. He's a person.
Yeah.
I just remember him doing a lot of crack. So. Okay. We all get to that point in our lives for different reasons. Just happened that I grew up with somebody who partook in crack.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a few jokes about that, which really bothers my mom.
Okay.
I don't even think she's listening to the podcast yet because she can't figure out how to get it on her phone. I don't understand. Where do you go to find the podcasts? What button do you push? Can you walk me through it? She has an iPhone. She doesn't know how to use it. I told her I was going to take the internet away from her.
Okay.
Because she doesn't.
Just take the internet
away. She just doesn't understand that like there are people out there that will prey on you. You just have to be really careful when you're on the internet. You know, you just never know who's lurking behind what computer screen. You just never know who you're talking to. So that and like my mom will do things like she'll send a text to me or she'll send a text to my sister that she meant to send to me about my sister. And I'm like, I'm going to take the internet away from you. Like you have to, I'm like, if you're going to be passive aggressive, call me on the phone and say it out loud to me on the phone. That way, you know, for sure I'm going to be on the receiving end. But yeah, the sending of the text, I'm like, girl. Oh, and then my sister gets upset.
Of course.
Just a fucking shit show.
I know.
It's a mess. But yeah, so I do like to talk about my family.
Okay. So the family is not off limits.
The family's not off limits. I have a joke about my sister that I'm in the midst of playing with. Right. And I just have an interesting family, as does everybody. I just happen to be someone who wants to get on stage and tell jokes around it. Yeah. So,
okay. So do you have any sort of rituals before going on stage?
I like to listen to other comics as far as what they're doing and mm-hmm. how they're mixing things and comparing things and stuff like that. I feel like timing is something you have to kind of learn on your own within telling your story of jokes. But I would just say going over what I've written down. Mm-hmm. Like I usually like to have like a little bit of a list and or side notes. Open mics, I don't mind going up with notes just because I'm at an open mic and that's the whole point is to try new material. But yeah, just open mics right now.
Okay.
So ritual is just going over my jokes, what I want to touch on.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it just kind of comes from being in the moment and memory and.
Mm-hmm. How do you read a room? Like, Do you know how to read a room?
Okay. Cause you got to tell me if you find out.
I mean, I know how to read, but I don't know how to read a room.
I feel like, oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, like, how do you tailor the jokes according to who's in the room? Or do you just go whatever material you have that was sort of what you had in your mind to do that night?
Number two.
Okay.
Yeah. Although, as I continue this journey, I am going to, like, some people, if I was performing for an LGBTQ audience,
yeah,
my jokes tend to be very LGBTQ. I have LGBTQ jokes because it's a part of my life. And I don't think it goes over well in straight rooms, although I haven't done enough open mics to know if that stuff would go over. I feel like I have to explain a lot of things that you just don't have to explain to a LGBTQ audience.
Yeah.
Like they know what cis is, they, mm-hmm. you know about pronouns. It just, it's just a different language, I feel like, that's spoken. So I will eventually, yes, start catering my jokes to whatever room I'm playing to. But I like the idea of having just a very diverse audience. Like, I don't necessarily want to stick to just, like, I don't want to be the gay comic or the black comic or the white comic or the lady comic. I just want it to be, like, I want my set at some point, or my HBO special, to be very versatile to the point where anybody could relate to it. Man, woman, doesn't matter what ethnicity, religious background. Like, it just, it's just funny.
Yeah. Yes, HBO special.
Yes, HBO special.
That's the goal, mama.
And Netflix. And I definitely Netflix. Want a Netflix special. But
definitely.
I don't know how many years it'll take to get to that point, but
I've seen some very young comics have specials.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's also some shows where it's like a bunch of comics that each have like 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. They're all very young, and they have, you know, sort of the door has been opened for Netflix. And I feel like Netflix is open to a lot of different types of things. Mm-hmm. So I think that you should just continue and develop that show. And then bring it to Netflix.
Oh, one woman show. I want to write a one woman show.
Yeah.
Just because I feel like my life is very much like a good story. If you pull out all of the highlights and, you know, put emphasis and punchlines and timing behind all of it, it's a one woman show.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I would like to write a one woman show.
I think that would be amazing.
Well, I will.
I mean, you have so many stories and your life has been so interesting that I think that would make for a great show.
Right.
How about...
Thank you.
You're welcome. I know we've talked about this in the past, but how are the fat jokes going?
So I haven't told any of the fat jokes. I have touched upon the fact that my jokes back in the day consisted of a lot of fat jokes and dick jokes.
Yeah.
But I've really just kind of tried to stay away from that stuff. I do currently have a dick joke, but it's not like what you would think.
Correct.
A dick joke would be. Yeah. So, yeah, really trying to stay away from that stuff. I'm just trying to do it different this time. Plus, I am a completely different person.
Yeah.
Like back in the day, still had a lot of hatred for myself. Like just still really didn't like who I was as a human being and was avoiding a lot of things. And in the last 10 years, I've been able to kind of let that stuff come to the surface and really start addressing it, which has changed me, like the inside of me, and my opinion on things, specifically myself and my body. I just have a different opinion on myself. I don't necessarily look at myself as a fat girl who sucks a lot of dick, you know?
Right.
I'm not really trying to be that anymore. I'm not that anymore. So in my opinion.
Yeah. How is it? Because you identify as queer. And I know that is something that you mention. So how is it proclaiming that in a room that could be predominantly heterosexual?
Well, it is. Yeah. Generally, cis white males feels like that's the majority of us.
Right. That go out to like the comedy clubs.
Yeah. Again, a very diverse community of people. There's you know, a little bit of everything, but... so far all the open mics I've gone to, it's been predominantly male identified white men. So, but it was like that back when I was doing comedy 10 years ago. So that hasn't really changed. But it, as far as the queer piece, I don't really care what people think. For the most part, most days, I still care sometimes a little
bit. Of course.
But I don't really care what people think. I know what I know, and I'm a queer woman. I've always kind of been an open book. I've always been kind of too much of an open book. Like I'm trying to be more like careful about who I tell what to, but stand up, you're just kind of putting it all out there for everybody to, you know, judge and find funny or not find funny. Because people relate or they don't relate. So
okay,
it's interesting.
Yeah. What do you think is the sort of the joke that you've told that has bombed completely?
Oh, God. Where do I start?
Or the topic that you think that doesn't go over too well.
Anytime I start talking about like cisgender men, people are like, what is she talking about? What is a cisgendered man? What to do?
Right.
Am I a cisgendered man? Is like, that like a gay thing? What's going on? I just feel like people get confused.
Yeah.
I don't think it's necessarily bombing. It's just, well, like Sunday, nobody was laughing. But like I said, I didn't give anybody a chance to laugh. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the gay jokes in the rooms that I've done thus far, people are a little confused.
Like it turns into a lecture rather than, you know.
Yeah.
What I mean?
Like, okay, Professor Brock.
You find yourself educating
right?
people.
Right. I just want to tell a joke.
Exactly.
But I do feel a need to explain because I'm reading my audience and it feels like they don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So I just need to mainstream that a little bit more and. Mm-hmm. Jokes, it's like you tell a joke, you write a joke, you tell a joke, mm-hmm. and then you figure out how to make it better. You figure out the timing and you just keep cutting the fat, if you will.
Yeah.
Like you cut out all the words that aren't necessary. They aren't necessary to the joke. Jokes should be quick, you know, or stories with lots of punchlines and tags and mixes. And I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
But you do.
I do. I'm still learning. I have a lot to learn.
Yeah.
But I do really want to get to that point where I'm just like in beast mode on the stage because I really do love making people laugh. Like I love it. I have a passion for it. I have passion for a lot of things, but specifically making people laugh and turning things that are just dark and gross and just sad realities of life, being able to turn them into laughter. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Well, they always say that behind every great comic, there's a tragedy. Right.
Yeah. And though my life has not been that tragic, I still have experienced some tragedy in my life.
I mean, you've had some moments in your life that have been sort of, I don't want to say interesting because it's not interesting, but you've had some lows, I would say.
Some trying times.
Some trauma.
Yes.
Yeah. And I, you know, and the fact that you're taking that and turning it into comedy, I think is amazing.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Frankie.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome.
You're a really good writer.
Well, thank you.
So when you write jokes with me, I'm just like, oh, thank God Frankie's here.
It's fun. And I'm not like a, you know, I hesitate to call myself a writer. I like to write and I like to create things. Mm-hmm. Comedy is not necessarily like my forte.
Right.
But I do enjoy it. I think every form of expression when it comes to writing, I like. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's been fun. The little things that we've done here and there. Mm-hmm. Maybe at some point we can set up some like actual like legit sessions.
Writing sessions.
Where we can just like focus on writing.
Yes.
Know when we have like 15 minutes at work.
Yes.
And somebody's knocking on the door.
Be like, hold on a second. Just writing down a tag.
But we need stuff.
Be like, but you need to wait. I got a joke to write here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But it's been great. So for people who are in LA, what would you recommend or what are like your regular sort of open mic spots that maybe people can catch you at?
Liquid Zoo on Sundays. It's a 10-minute spot and you have to pay to play everywhere in town. Mm-hmm. If you want to do an open mic,
can you explain that?
Yeah. If you go and you want to do an open mic, you have to purchase something. Most of the time you have to purchase something. So you have, it's like a 2-drink minimum, which you can get water. At Liquid Zoo, it's a 2-drink minimum to do your 10 minutes. And so you can get 2 bottles of water, $6. So pay to play means you pay to do an open mic. Which pretty Got much it. Comedy Bureau is amazing. I can't remember what the website was back in the day when I was doing stand up. But Comedy Bureau is a great place to go if you want to do comedy. It tells you where all the open mics are and it gives you all the details to the open mic. If it's like an LGBT spot or how many minutes you get and what the minimum of like is that you have to do as far as getting that time. Some of them are lotteries. Lotteries kind of suck. I don't like lotteries. Okay. If you want to do an open mic and you got a couple bucks in your pocket, Comedy Bureau, great place to find out where you can go. They also have all the shows that are booked. So if you wanted to like just go and watch, there are places you can go where there's no door cover. You don't necessarily have to buy anything. And once people start to know you as a comic, I remember hanging out at the Comedy Store all the time. Like I'd walk in like I own the place, but like all the comics walked in like they own the place, and you could just go in, you could watch whoever was on stage do comedy. Mm-hmm. I do need to watch more comedy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Comedy Bureau is pretty awesome.
Okay.
And
as far as the bars or the places.
Yes, Liquid Zoo. The show starts at 9:30.
Okay.
It's a 10-minute spot. If you want to come watch me work out.
That what it's called?
Well, I always like when I explain, because people are like, oh my God, I want to come see you at your open mic. I'm like, that would be like saying you want to come see me work out in a gym. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, come to the competition, yeah. Right? Like, you don't need to come watch me work out in a gym. Like, it's just sweaty and gross, yeah. And no one's really paying attention. And but I have had a couple of friends that have, like, wanted to come with me and have come with me to watch the sets. I had two of my friends come last Sunday when I didn't give anybody an opportunity to laugh. I just made the room really awkward, which happens. Okay. It happens. It's like if you can like get through that and move, it's one moment in time where nobody's going to fucking remember that. And if they do, they're just going to think, wow, she got really good because she used to really suck. You know, no, but you know what I mean? Like that would be the only reason why anybody would ever remember me bombing at an open mic, because they would have that comparison.
Okay.
Otherwise, people don't care. And everybody's so in their head anyway. Everybody's thinking about their own sets. You know, trying to read the room, trying to get a feel, but yeah.
So would you say it's mostly other comics who go, who make up the audience?
Most of the time.
Like waiting to go up?
Yeah, most of the time. I haven't been to every single open mic in the LA area as of yet, but that was my experience back when I was doing open mics, you know, 10 years ago. And it so far has been my experience.
Okay.
There's this place called The Fourth Wall, which is in North Hollywood, and it's basically a very small building with a stage and then a stage outside in a tent, and you have to pay. It's $5 for 6 minutes, I do believe, but they have mics all day long every day, and you can go and you can sign up and you get 6 minutes and you have to stay for the show. So it's in 45-minute intervals. So you're locked in the tent. You're zipped into that tent for 45 minutes having to watch everybody that's going up.
Oh, wow.
So that's kind of cool that like people like have to stay, and there's chairs and like you're sitting and you're an audience. And so that's kind of cool. Every place I've gone so far has had a stage, which is super nice. Mm-hmm. Just makes it feel a little more legit.
Correct.
Like, okay, there's a stage and a mic.
Yeah. You love a mic.
I love a good mic.
Yeah, mics are good.
Hot mic.
If you look at the comics who are either successful now or from the past, whose careers sort of, I mean, I know you want to be the next Kristen, right? Like, you don't want to be like the next whoever. But who do you sort of look up to and say, oh, you know, they're doing good, or they did it right, or they whatever?
I would say like Tiffany Haddish, Amy Schumer, Leslie Jones, Ellen started doing stand up again. She just did a show, I think for Netflix, which is going to air in December, in Seattle.
Oh, nice.
At like some theater in Seattle. I don't know which theater, but, she did a stand up special, and, I look at like those three women and I think beast mode. Like they know how to like go at an audience and make people laugh and find, you know, the common ground between the differences in people. And I love that. And I respect that. I remember a friend of mine back in the day, I like knew Leslie Jones through someone because she was kind of mentoring a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. So 5 degrees of separation. I technically know Leslie Jones.
Technically.
But I love that she is an older woman who is on SNL. You know, like comedy is timeless. And that's one of the things I really love about stand-up comedy and just comedy in general is that it is timeless. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter how much you weigh. Funny is funny.
Yeah.
Funny's funny.
Yeah.
And Yeah. It's just, it's one of the things that draws me to it. It's just that it, you essentially could make it at any age. Mm-hmm. And what even is making it? Making enough money to support myself and save. And, you know, if I could get to that point, that would be amazing. Mm-hmm. I have to do the footwork.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I have to be writing regularly. I have to be doing mics regularly. I have to be booking shows, hustling, calling bookers, mm-hmm. you know, challenging myself. Like, I know what to do. Now it's just a matter of doing it.
Correct. I mean, I think that can be applied to a lot of things. And I love that message of the fact that there is no time frame for you to pursue your dreams. Like, don't put a deadline on it. You know, just continue to do it. And yeah, you will get discouraged along the way and things will happen. But you just need to get back up and get back on that horse and continue to move forward. I think it goes to like my, I can think about like my, you know, my writing. Like, I enjoy writing scripts and I always get a lot of ideas and I write things down. But the process of writing a script is so overwhelming. It can be overwhelming, especially if you have a lot of things going on. But, you know, it's a matter of if, you know, you will never be able to present something to like a Netflix or an HBO if you don't put the work in. If you don't take, you know, people always say like you have to write every single day. So write something every day. And before you know it, you'll have something that's concrete that you can then edit and edit and edit until death. Because that's okay. Really what writing is, especially writing a script. It's like you write the first one and then you continue to edit, you know, until you are happy with it, and then you present it, and then there'll be more edits made. So we just have to continue to do work, and just at some point we'll start seeing the fruits of our labor right in front of our eyes.
Yep.
So I'm proud of us.
Me too.
For, you know, not this podcast is part of that as well. Mm-hmm. You know, here you are in the middle of chaos, mm-hmm. and we're still sitting in this room in front of a microphone talking and recording and continue to go. So thank you, and I appreciate you. And I think this is going to be the end of this episode.
Yes.
But we would like to encourage people to continue to listen. And if you haven't listened to season one, it is completely different. But go ahead and do it.
Give it a listen. Yes.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I think we've grown so mm-hmm. much. Like, I can just think about trying to do this 5 months ago.
Oh my God. Would
have been like a 10-hour thing.
Exactly.
And here we're like having conversations, and finally the microphone's feeling comfortable mm-hmm. for both of us. So I am very proud of us, and I hope that we continue to do this and continue to pursue the things that we love. So yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Frankie. All right, guys, that's it for this week. Thank you for listening to our podcast. Make sure to rate us and leave a comment. We hope you guys come back next week. But in the meantime, you can go to our website at cheatdaypodcast.com, and you can find us on Twitter and the Insta at Cheat Day Podcast.